Hello everyone, let me tell you something that I hope you'll remember regarding your reading of the Bible. I have mentioned this before, that the chapters, and indeed the verses, are divisions put in by man to help us to find our way through the Bible. All I have to say to you now is look up Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and you can go right to that. So, the chapter divisions were a very good thing, but with everything that man does, there's always a drawback. There's always a drawback. Because, you see, nothing man does is perfect. Oh, the Bible is perfect. Yes, men wrote the words that are here before us in our Bible, but they did so under the direct inspiration of God. So, God inspired every word they wrote. But when man came then to divide up the Bible into chapters and into verses, well, he was on his own in doing that. No, well, providentially, I'm sure the guiding hand of God was upon the venture, but nevertheless, there are cases where the chapter divisions are not in a good place. They're not in a good place. And because they're not just in the right place, you get the impression, when you come to the end of a chapter, that's a topic finished with. Now I come to the beginning of a new chapter, and this is a new topic. But that's not the way. If man put a division where no division ought to be. So perhaps just today we'll quickly look at the closing part of the book of the Revelation. And if I could put in new chapter divisions, I'd make some changes. Look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19. This is just a little incidental study, but if you look at chapter 19, I feel that some changes to the chapter 19 and then the other chapters that continue onward would help us. When we come to the end of chapter 19 and start into chapter 20, there's a break there that ought not to be there. We, I think, should, as it were, take the division, the start of chapter 20, and move it back up into chapter 19 and start chapter 20 at the verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here is the return of the Lord Jesus and the beginning of the great change in this world and the commencement of the millennial reign of Christ. That begins a new vision. And that vision continues on into chapter 20. So that when you come to verse 21 of chapter 19, and the remnant that were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. And this that you're about to read about here in chapter 20 is closely allied to what has just been read to you, starting at verse 11 of chapter 19. And they tie together. It's not a very important matter, by any means. It's not a very important matter. But when you're closely studying the Word of God, these observations ought to be made. Now, move on over to another, what I would call a poor division. In verse 11 of chapter 20, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was sound no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I think we should move the beginning of chapter 21 back up page to that verse 11. Because there's a natural sequence to what you read from verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and what you read in chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The great white throne marks the end of what we might call time. It's the end of the events that will take place on this earth, and it's immediately followed by God bringing in a new heaven and a new earth. I spoke a little about that on Tuesday. And it's important, I think, when we're reading the Bible, to get the right sequence of events and to understand those things that are linked together. And as I say, sometimes the man-made divisions, chapter divisions, interrupt the flow. And we're given the impression that what was at the end of one chapter isn't really linked to what is at the beginning of a new chapter, whereas in fact they are. And in this case, they are. Now, if you turn down chapter 21, we finished our reading of the chapter at the verse 8. Remember, on Tuesday, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels. Now, that would have been a good place for a chapter break. That's where I think chapter 21 should start. The tail end of chapter 20 and the beginning of chapter 21, they're closely allied. They shouldn't be divided. But now when we begin chapter 21 and verse 9, we begin a revelation that is given to John that is not in any way connected with the previous verses. In actual fact, from 9 through on to the verse 5 of chapter 22, you're going backwards. John is shown something that took place during the millennial reign. Now, chapter 20, we saw the millennial reign, and then it comes to an end with the great white throne judgment, and God creates a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But now when we come to verse 9 of chapter 21, we go back to before the great white throne, before the new heavens and the new earth. We're still on the old earth in what is shown to us here from verse 9 on through to verse 5 of the next chapter. Now, how do I know that what we're reading from chapter 21 verse 9 through to chapter 22 verse 5, how do I know that that is actually a scene from the millennial earth before the great white throne, before God has created the new heavens and the new earth where there is no sin? How do I know? Detective work. I've told you before, when you're reading your Bible, be like the detective who comes upon a crime scene, and he doesn't just blunder in, but he looks it over, carefully noting where everything is, and then carefully moves into the scene and examines every item closely, taking note of it. Because all the items and how they are lying, whether it's furniture that's been overturned or whatever, or a weapon that's lying there, that all gives the detective information as to what went on. And in like fashion, we come to the scriptures, and we've got to read it like that. We've got to note everything that God says, because everything he's telling us here gives us information directly. Indirectly, we can pick up information and note some things. Now, I want you to just take a note of a couple of verses that are found in the passage that we're looking at here. 21:9 through to 22:5. Well, we are told, as you know, how that God said in chapter 21 that all things are now new. All things are now new. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. So this is the new heaven and the new earth. No sign of the old earth and its ways and its sins. But when we come to chapter 21 and verse 9 onwards, if you read carefully, you will see references there that clearly indicate that there's sin still amongst men at the time of this vision. I want you to notice that. For instance, look at verse 24, talking about the great city, the city of God, that has come down from God toward the earth and is visible from the earth during the millennial period. And verse 24 says, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations to it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Now, in God's eternal heaven, in the new heavens, new earth, there is nothing that would defile, nothing that would work abomination, nothing that would make a lie. Therefore, there would be no bar, no stopping of that which is sinful from entering the city if it were in God's new heaven and new earth, because there would be no liars, no deceivers, no abominable beings. But because there is this reference here, I think we can rightly conclude that this would indicate that we're still looking at the millennial earth. Remember what I told you about the millennial earth? That during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, there will be among the nations those who do not submit to Christ, who are still sinful and wicked and rebellious, though subdued and held in place and under restraint. And to those people, there would be denied any entrance into this glorious city because of their sin, because of their wickedness. So when we read here of the glorious city and the ban there is in existence upon any that would tell lies or are abominable, etc., that indicates that such people are in existence in that day. And that can't be the case in God's heaven. This portion of Scripture is referring still to the millennial period, when upon the earth, though Jesus Christ is reigning in power, there are still unconverted people. Another wee indication of this. We go on into chapter 22. We're still looking at the same theme, although the dividers of the book of Revelation put the chapter headings in. They decided, oh, we'll start a new chapter here. In actual fact, they shouldn't have, because we're still in the same vision, still looking at the same thing when we come to verse 1 of chapter 22. So that's a bad division. I think it should come at the end of verse 5, beginning of verse 6. That's where chapter 22 should begin. But look at what it says. Verse 1, chapter 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, leading out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." Wait a minute. What healing is needed in heaven? Everything will be perfect in heaven. There's no need of healing. So when we read here of the leaves of the tree being used for the healing of the nations, this is not heaven. But we're still in the millennial period. We're still in the millennial period. When you're reading the book of the Revelation, when you come to the beginning of chapter 21, and you read about the new heavens and the new earth, and you read on through chapter 21, you may well think, I'm still reading about heaven, I'm still reading about the new heavens and the new earth, the final eternal state. But in actual fact, you're not. Because from verse 9 onward of that chapter, you're taken back to look at the earth before the great white throne judgment and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Just remember, oftentimes in the Bible, you find the events that are recorded in one chapter do not necessarily follow on behind the events that happened in the previous chapter. Because God, in his wisdom, may well begin to relate something that actually happened well before the events that you read about in the previous chapter. Tell you a wee story. I remember when I was young, and when my mother would sometimes go out to feed the hens with corn. She wouldn't just put the corn in a nice little container, a dish, but oftentimes she would take it and she'd go where there was grass and things growing and she'd throw it out among the grass. She said, I want the hens to go out and look for it, because while they're looking for the corn, they'll see other items that they can eat, that they need to eat, by which they will get vital minerals, etc., 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 that they need for the producing of eggs and for their health. And by scattering the corn among the grass and the brambles and nettles and everything else, it'll force them to go and look there. Whereas if you just put in a dish, they'd stay at the dish and they'd eat and they'd eat and they'd eat the corn of the dish, and they wouldn't go looking for those other important ingredients that would make up their diet. I wonder, does God do the same? Instead of just starting at the creation of the earth and then year one, year two, year three, etc., 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 right through till we come to the end. God doesn't give it to us like that. But now and then we find events that come way before the events that we've just been reading about, and we're forced to think, we're forced to study, we're forced to consider. I'm sure there's an element of that that lies behind the divine reasoning why the Bible is written the way it is. God wants us to think about these things, to take note of what is written. I feel God breaks things up in order to force us to think and force us to consider. So that at the very end of the Bible, you discover this principle at work. Chapter 21 begins. We have the new heavens and the new earth. Then, within a few verses, we're back in time to the millennial reign of Christ, and a scene upon the earth during that millennial reign that we haven't really had shown to us before. So, do remember that. When you're reading Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through to verse 5 of chapter 22, you're looking at the millennial earth. And especially you're looking at the great city of God, the holy Jerusalem, and the place it will have in the millennial earth. The dwelling place of God will clearly be seen upon the millennial earth. Men will live during that reign of Christ with the things of God and the things of eternity very much visible to them. Those things are not visible today. Consequently, out there, there are millions and millions and millions of people who never, never give thought to God. But during the reign of Christ, there will be many visible evidences of God, of His power, of His glory, including the city of God, the dwelling place of God. And read about this beautiful city. Read about what it will be like. And this will be visible to men. Now, as it says, there are those who won't be allowed into it because of their sin, but they'll still see it, I do believe. It'll be visible to them. It was like that in the days when the Lord led His people out of Egypt, you remember? There was the pillar of cloud in the daytime. That was God's glory that was visible. That indicated the presence of the Almighty. And then at night it became a pillar of fire so that you could still see the evidence of God's glory. And there wasn't just a sight that the godly could see. The ungodly could see it. The ungodly amongst the camp of Israel. Because not every Israelite was sealed. We only have to think about those who rebelled so often and were judged by God. But they could see the visible glory. But in the millennial reign, it will be even more spectacular. More wonderful. More wonderful. And there's a revival, you know, that's what happens. People sense the presence of God in a fashion that they don't today. They don't today. In a time of revival, and we must stop, in a time of revival, our neighbours round about would be making their way to the services here. What would draw them? What would be happening in a day of revival that isn't happening today? They don't come today. They're not in the least interested today in coming to God's house. Why would they come in a day of revival? Because the presence of God becomes known to man. the presence of God. Oh, not to the degree it will be known in the millennial reign, but there will be a sensing that God is there in that place where the people gather and the word is preached. In the millennial earth, then, there will be this glorious manifestation of the God of heaven. And it's important for us to note that this section of Revelation, toward the end of it, is dealing with the millennial earth. We'll leave it there, and we'll return. We've only a few studies left before we come to the conclusion of our great subject. I trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart today. Let us pray. O God, let there be crumbs from these poor efforts that will be seized upon by the smallest and the youngest in our gathering. May there be something for every heart, Lord. Lord, be pleased to conquer the heart of every child in this gathering. Be pleased to rule in their heart and in their lives, Lord. Bring them into submission to Thee, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.